Is it Sunday yet? Almost. Welcome into the Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Derek, joined by Not Your Average Joes, and we got Ryan Devaney back with us today for a very special four-round rookie Superflex mock draft. We wanted to do all four rounds. I mean, actually, I peer pressured them into doing all four rounds. So, how are you all feeling about me enforcing my will on you?
You put it that way, it sounds funny, but no, I'm pumped. We had the startup for the Harry Potter League that Ryan Devaney started, so we've been pumped about that draft. And then, we just had our rookie draft. We just finally finished up today, so why not jump right back into a four round mock? How you doing, Mason?
Good. Yeah, I'm excited to do a rookie mock, talk about some of these. Now we can talk about how we really feel about these rookies now that we did our rookie draft, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm excited to do this. Ryan, how you doing? Thanks for coming on the show.
Of course. Appreciate you all having me again. I think third time. So I appreciate the invites. Always a good time.
Mason, you got a little horse in your throat?
Yeah, I was sick earlier this week. So,
well, I'm glad that you were able to push through it. I know that I have three kids, five and under, and goodness, I don't know what it is about this week, but I am more tired than I feel like I've ever been in my entire life. But we want to have a good show, so I'm bringing the energy, at least my own version of energy. And just a little bit about the draft that we're going to be doing. We're going to do a four-round rookie Superflex mock draft. We each have our own draft slot, so everyone else is going to be an auto pick. So that's definitely going to throw a wrench in it, potentially. Maybe it goes chalk. I don't know. Sleeper has the tendency to just go rogue sometimes, so we'll see what happens with this draft. We'll talk a little bit about each pick, maybe comment a little bit on each computer pick. However, we'll really focus on what we're thinking at our own picks. Joe, we randomized it. Joe Bellner has the number 2. Ryan has the number 7. I have the number 10, and Joe Mason has the number 12. And this is a linear draft, so Joe Mason does not get to do his little turn pick. It's just 12th every round. Without further ado, let's get it started. So, as we all predicted, Bijan Robinson goes at number 101 to Team 1, putting Joe Bellner on the clock.
All right, so in a super flex league, after Bijan goes 101, I'm always targeting a quarterback. We've seen the field kind of go towards Anthony Richardson. He has the absurd ceiling with that rushing ability. We've never really seen an athlete with his measurables at the combine. But, there's a lot of question marks with him also. So when I'm staring down the quarterbacks, I want the sure thing. I think that Bryce Young's a super special talent. I think he has the IQ. It's funny. We just had our super flex draft in our dynasty league, and I ended up trading away the 102 because I thought I could capitalize on someone trying to go after Anthony Richardson, knowing that I would get Bryce Young. And then I traded down and ended up having Bryce Young slip right back to me. So that was funny. But in this draft at the 102, I'm taking Bryce Young.
There you go. I mean, we were talking about the computer doing some wild stuff, but that's kind of a hot take at this point, taking Bryce Young over Anthony Richardson. I definitely don't disagree with it. I think on this show, we've kind of all agreed that the Anthony Richardson hype train has gone a little bit off the rails. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Ryan?
We were talking earlier. I love Bryce. I agree. I think he's going to be a star in this league for a long time. At first, I was a little worried about his rushing, but I just think he's just going to be solid. Now, of course, Anthony Richardson could come into the league similarly to Hurts, Fields, where they score a ton of fantasy points, but everyone talks about their accuracy, their passing ability. But we'll see. I mean, he's got a decent situation there, so it's, you know, when you see those quote unquote project quarterbacks, it's nice to see them at least go to a solid offense. So he could break fantasy, but it is a risk. So it just preference there.
Using the company line there, writer for the Fantasy Footballers, They've been saying that a lot about breaking fantasy as far as Anthony Richardson goes. I also think that it kind of depends on which team was picking at 102 this year. If it was a team that was win now or that traded up or just had traded already and had that asset, I don't know if they're necessarily going to take Anthony Richardson there, because he's not necessarily a win now quarterback. Bryce Young should produce a lot quicker, unless you listen to what the Panthers are saying, which is that Andy Dalton might start. I don't really believe that for one second. CJ Stroud definitely starting. He's going to produce right away. But I think the allure to Anthony Richardson's that ceiling. I think we all agree with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, after Bryce Young went Anthony Richardson immediately to team three, followed by CJ Stroud, Jahmyr Gibbs at 105, Jaxon Smith-Njigba at number six. That brings us to Ryan on the clock at 107.
Yep, and this pretty much is what almost every rookie draft probably looks like. There's a clear top six, and then usually seven and eight are between two players. I have them in a similar tier, Quentin Johnston with the Chargers and Jordan Addison, the Vikings. I am definitely taking Addison. I think he is in a great situation. They're going to pass the ball to him a lot. Lots of targets available. I love the talent production at two major schools. I think he's a safer bet than Quentin Johnston, even in the Chargers offense. I think Addison is safer, and I can finally say I was able to draft him, even if it's a mock draft. I've done eight rookie drafts and a startup and have zero shares of Addison. So I'm very happy.
There you go. Jordan Addison goes at 107. I know that the guys and I were talking today just about the prototype of the receiver size. I think it was actually just me and Joe Beldner, is changing across the NFL. You have these guys that are much smaller getting picked higher and higher in the NFL draft, and teams seem to not mind it. And Jordan Addison falls into that category. He is a smaller guy. He's 6'1", 175. He is not Quentin Johnston, who goes next at 108. And I think that's the two guys that you're deciding between at 107 and 108, like you mentioned. Quentin Johnston is 6'4", over 200 pounds. Much different player. However, I also agree that Jordan Addison should go at 107. Would you have, I know that Joe Mason did take him at 107. No, Joe Beldner did.
Jordan Addison?
Do you have any regrets, Jordan Addison over Quentin Johnston?
No, not at all. And I say that, like, knowing that Quentin Johnston is, like, an unbelievable athlete. He has your prototypical, like, wide receiver one size and athleticism, and then he's attached to Justin Herbert, and I expect that offense to take a big step forward this year with the new offensive coordinator coming over. But I just think that Jordan Addison's a better route runner, just straight up a better football player. And like you said, we've seen guys like Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, the list goes on and on about these stars that are they're very skinny, like 175 pounds soaking wet, but they're taking over the league. And it's funny because I was so obsessed with JSN in the pre-draft process that, like, I was checking out these guys, like, their highlight videos, but they weren't my primary focus. But the more I watch on Jordan Addison, the more I like. And then kind of the same thing with Quentin Johnston, to be honest. I think I would lean Addison, but I don't think you could go too wrong with either pick.
Now, in our most recent rookie draft, Joe Mason did take Quentin Johnston number 8. That's where he goes in this mock draft. Anything to add on Quentin Johnston, Joe Mason?
Yeah, I probably had Zay Flowers ahead of him before the NFL draft, but the fact that he went to Baltimore just really is disappointing. You know, they just don't throw the ball a whole lot in Baltimore, and that could change with their new offensive coordinator. I think it's Todd Monken, right, is their new OC. So I just like Johnston's upside, especially in the Chargers offense.
Now, at 109, Zay Flowers went off the board, a little different than what happened with Joe Mason, who had the 9th pick as well. He took Dalton Kincaid, and so I was afraid that I was going to be facing the same exact decision that I had at the 110 the other day, which was between Will Levis or anybody else below that. Here, in this mock draft, I'm going to go with Dalton Kincaid. I know that it's very risky, But beyond Dalton Kincaid here, you got a lot of running backs with a lot of question marks. I'm considering Zach Charbonnet here. I'm considering Kendre Miller here. But ultimately, I'm going to go with the draft capital, which Dalton Kincaid was the 25th overall pick in the NFL draft. And so the Bills are committed to getting him involved in this offense. And so if the Buffalo Bills, who are a prolific offense, are committed to including Dalton Kincaid, then I'm going to be fine including him on my fantasy roster, and I'm going to take Kincaid. The other option that I would have had here is to try to shop that pick, and that is what I ultimately did in our actual draft. I traded back for 2 seconds, and I ended up, I'll talk about it later, but I traded back for 2 seconds. I really didn't want Will Levis. I really didn't want Zay Flowers, to be quite honest. And so I traded back. Team 11 took Will Levis immediately. Now Joe Mason is on the clock with a not-so-enviable 12th pick.
Yeah, in my rookie drafts, this is kind of how I see it play out when you're at the end of the first. You kind of have your choice between, in my opinion, the three running backs, and then that's it, right? It's a tier drop after that. You got Charbonnet, A-Chain, and Kendre Miller. And out of all those three guys, I like A-Chain the best. Landing in Miami, you know, another track star that falls into the Shanahan tree of coaching with McDaniels, and A-Chain just super fast, and he's my RB3 post draft. So I'm going to go with Devin A-Chain, running back for the Miami Dolphins here at the 112.
There you go. Devon A-Chain at 12. Jonathan Mingo goes at the 201. So Joe Belner is on the clock here.
Yeah, so this is a tough little situation. I'm looking at two running backs. One that I absolutely loved pre-draft, as well as everybody else, and Zach Charbonnet. But then, you know, we got Kenneth Walker in that backfield. Really couldn't have gone to a worse situation. And then Kendre Miller, who's another running back that I love. I'm actually tempted to take both over A-Chain if I'm given the opportunity, just because when I'm looking at the running back, I want that prototypical size. I think that A-Chain couldn't have gone to a better landing spot being in that offense. It's so creative. You've got Waddle and Tyreek, so why not just get another guy that has crazy speed? But I'm going Kendre Miller here. You know, it's a little bit crowded right now. You have Alvin Kamara still. The suspension's going to happen, so it'll be him and Jamal Williams running the show. I just think that Jamal's like almost 28 years old. You've got Kendre Miller, who's the second youngest in the draft class at running back to Izzy Abanaconda. And I just think he has a lot of juice. I think he has a lot of talent. And I think he fell under the radar because he had an MCL injury at the end of their season that hindered him from performing at the combine. So if I'm picking here, I'm going Kendre Miller. And I think that he might have some good seasons ahead in his career.
Did you hear he came out and he's like, I'm here to start. Like, I'm here. I'm coming for Kamara's job. Like, I don't care.
High T.
There it is.
That's bold. He should say he's going to fight him for it. Josh Downs went next at the 203, followed by Zach Charbonnet, Jaden Reed from the Packers, Michael Mayer from the Las Vegas Raiders, which brings us to the 207 for Ryan. What are you thinking here?
Well, I was really hoping that Josh Downs would get to me. Last time I was on the show, I said, yeah, he's my guy. I'm wanting to leave every draft with. And then he didn't get the draft capital that we were hoping, but still in a decent situation. I was hoping he would fall. Michael Mayer going right before me kind of hurts, because I think even as a tight end, he's going to be super solid. Potential going forward. Not a lot of options here. I love the second round this year is pretty brutal. Not a lot of talent that has a lot of upside. Name I'm going to probably go with here. I'm going to go with a running back. I'm going to go with Tank Bigsby. He doesn't have an ideal situation, obviously, behind ETN, but still a third round draft capital, I believe. And, you know, he's going to get his touches and an injury away from his value skyrocketing. I don't believe in a couple of these receivers. So that's the direction I'm going to go.
All right, there you go. Tank Bigsby goes at the 207. Hendon Hooker, here's your first wild card. At least it feels like it a little bit. Goes at the 208. Anybody think that that's worth a pick at 208?
No.
No.
I just saw that they were saying that, I think the head coach is saying you shouldn't expect to see him playing for a very long time.
In redshirt season?
Yeah, I think he was endorsing Jared Goff a little bit, as he should.
They're talking about extending Goff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think – I know that we criticize sleepers, auto-draft mechanics a little bit, but based on ADP, that is kind of where he is going, allegedly. I was surprised to see him that high when we were actually doing it. Joe, what are your thoughts on Hendon Hooker?
Mason or Felder?
Yo, Mason. He already shared his.
I mean, I like Hendon Hooker. I think people were giving him like first round, you know, draft buzz before he got hurt, obviously. I think he was like leading the Heisman voting too before he got hurt. But, you know, stuff can change quick in Dynasty. You could have Jared Goff playing poorly. The Lions have a bad record, and all of a sudden they're talking about switching up the quarterback. And I don't know if Hooker's fully healthy. I do think he'll sit probably this whole year till he's 100%. But, you know, in to Ryan's point, like, you know, if I was in Ryan's position, I would have took Bigsby or a running back, because usually you'll have an idea of like how they turn out pretty quickly. Like, usually they produce right away or they're just not very good. Receivers, you kind of got to wait and see what they can do. They might take a few years, and quarterbacks are just hard to come by. So I am fine with where he went in the rookie draft. You just kind of have to know that, you know, you're stashing him for a later day.
Here's the issue I have with Hendon Hooker in terms of the stash concept. Who's older, Hendon Hooker or Zach Wilson?
Hooker. Hendon Hooker.
Who's older, Hooker or Trey Lance?
Hendon Hooker.
I mean, who's older? Let's see. Is Trevor Lawrence younger than him? I'm assuming.
Yes. Yeah, he is.
So, like, yeah, this guy is coming into the league. He's already 25.
He's younger than old. Stetson Bennett.
Sure, but Stetson Bennett went in, like, the sixth round. And it also, you're not taking him at the 208 in your rookie draft.
Probably not.
Who's older, Hooker or Velus Jones?
Velus Jones.
No, Velus Jones is still older.
Is he?
He is, it's today's his birthday. Happy birthday, Velus Jones Jr.
Oh, wow.
May 11th, 1997.
Is he 26?
He's 26 years old today.
Oh, my gosh.
He's entering his prime in his second season.
Oh, man.
I was, for context, Ryan, in the Harry Potter League, I was, like, making jokes that I said, hey, we're in the late 20s round-wise, and there's a guy who is a top 20 receiver in week 18 still on the board. And I was like, I'll give you three guesses. I think you guys took one guess, and I was like, it's Velus Jones. Because I was like, he's entering his prime. Like, he's still in his prime production age. I just left out the fact that he's only going to be a second-year player, and he's 26.
He's 1 year younger than DJ Moore, I think. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
I mean, how old's Darnell Mooney?
I think Hooker played like 4 years in college, right?
Wasn't Darnell he like at Mooney Virginia? Darnell Mooney is younger than Velus Jones.
Wow.
He's 25.
That's crazy. Yeah,
don't remind me. I don't know what the Bears are doing.
He's going to be 26 in late October. All right, enough about Velus Jones. We are going to move to the 210, which is me. And this is where it gets weird, because I guess I got to think about who I already picked, which is Dalton Kincaid. Because if I didn't have Dalton Kincaid, then I'm looking at Sam Laporta here, because I think he is athletic enough. He has the role and draft capital in Detroit enough. He went to Iowa, which is a plus, because all the good tight ends went to Iowa. I don't know if that's a coaching thing or just a self-selection or just coincidence, but the track record for Iowa tight ends in the NFL is really, really good. Considering, though, that I took the tight end one at the 110, I am going to pick Roschon Johnson for the Chicago Bears, the running back. I think he has an opportunity to produce early. That's pretty much all you can ask for from a late second round rookie pick, that he's going to get some production. And I think that he'll compete with Deontay Foreman. Foreman is just, an injury waiting to happen. We discussed it, I think, last week, that who knows what's going to happen any given week with Deontay Foreman. He could get injured again, and his career could be over. He already recovered from a very severe injury. And finally, Khalil Herbert is there, and Khalil Herbert has been good. I think I'm hearing that Ryan is a Bears fan, so maybe you can chime in here. But who do you think is going to lead the backfield in touches this year?
That is a tough one. I mean, I know one of the coaches on the coaching staff came out and we're talking about, you know, they don't really know yet. They're going to kind of wait and see. So I don't know. I think it's a situation that Khalil Herbert has looked great. I think Foreman in the last few years has looked great. So I would not be surprised if either one gets the starting nod. And I know there seems to be kind of a cult following for Roschon Johnson. Everyone's saying, you know, he only didn't play because of Bijan. So we'll see. But, you know, Bears fan, didn't watch a ton of the games, to be honest, because, you know, it, especially in the beginning, wasn't very exciting. I'm more of a red zone guy. So, but it's
you and the Jets fan are kindred spirits.
Yeah, I was going to say, I joke yeah. around all the time that I'm so into fantasy football because I'm a Jets fan. All I do is watch Red Zone.
I feel that. I understand, so.
What I failed to mention was that after Joe Beldner took Kendre Miller, it went Josh Downs at 203, 204 with Charbonnet, Jaden Reed for the Packers went at 205. Actually, I did, now that I'm having deja vu about this.
I think you got up to Hendon Hooker, and then right after Hooker
Hendon
was
Hooker
Tajay
went
Spears.
At 208. Spears, running back for Tennessee, went at 209, and then I took Johnson at 10. 11 went Marvin Mims, wide receiver for the Denver Broncos. I'm going to be honest, I don't know that much about Marvin Mims.
He's an interesting prospect.
Get a scouting report on that guy?
He's got a decent profile. It's just, and I didn't do too much work on him, but I think analytically he has a solid profile, smaller build, I think. You know, and he's got that unfortunate last name, Mims, that people kind of remember.
Denzel.
Well, yeah. So, but
I dropped
hard to say
earlier today. Denzel Mims.
It is the dropping spree. I think so that we don't forget mentioning it. If you are finishing rookie drafts right now, you need to be watching your waiver wire like a hawk, because guys that are potentially addable are hitting the waiver wire right now. I mean, it's been hard for me to decide. Like, I do want some more rookies on my roster, and it's hard for me to figure out who are the guys that I'm dropping for that, because you're taking mystery box lottery tickets in place of potentially veteran contributors that you could fill in a moment's notice with very limited production, but at least you know that they might be on the field versus some of these rookies.
Yeah, people are overly excited right now. You know, you're going to have these people are going to be dropping, like you said, veterans for the seventh round running backs that, you know, not everybody's Isaiah Pacheco. For every Isaiah Pacheco, you have like 30 other guys that end up doing absolutely nothing with their careers. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. But with Mims, what excites me is I think he's going to be what we thought KJ Hamler was supposed to be last year. And I think finally, he's not Kyler Lockett, but just saying that Russell Wilson, when he was in Seattle, had that deep ball threat with Lockett, I think that Marvin Mims could step up and immediately be that. I forget what he ran, but it was like, I think like a 4.39 at the combine. Like, he's super fast. So Mims is somebody I was trying to trade into our draft for and failed. But I think he might have a pretty good career.
Yeah, speaking of drops, I dropped Nelson Agholor today, which is fitting. given that he is all about the drops. But I cannot bring myself to drop Kenny Golladay.
It's tough.
Does he get signed anywhere, or is he just like watching on the couch?
I guess that's why. That's why I'm like, I can't, because he's done it before.
Do it. Just do it.
I can't bring myself to drop Kenny Golladay.
He's like 29 now.
It's not even like I had anything invested in him. Late in last season, I traded, somebody sent me an offer, Kenny Golladay for Julio Jones. And I was like, sure, whatever. I accepted it. So I got him straight up for Julio Jones. So Julio Jones isn't signing anywhere anytime soon either. So it's totally a wash. It's not like I picked him high in a startup and I'm disappointed about losing that capital. I just don't want to give up on him. Anyway, back to our draft. Enough sidebars. Joe Mason is on the clock. If we had a clock.
It actually says I'm on the clock right now. No, but I would have been tilting pretty hardcore if you took Laporta. This one's easy for me, even though tight ends are gross. I just get excited whenever I see one with a lot of upside. So I'm going with Laporta. He was the second tight end taken in the draft behind Kincaid, and he went to the Lions. So, you know, like you said, Derek, Iowa tight ends, you know, tight end you. So I'm going with Laporta here.
Plus, the first six games, he might have the second most targets. Well, I guess maybe third behind Gibbs and St. Brown. We shall see. After Laporta went another tight end, Musgrave from Green Bay Packers, another Packer off the board. Anybody have any thoughts about the Musgrave-Kraft duo in Green Bay yet?
From what I've watched and read, I think that Kraft is more of a blocker. When I was watching him, he's kind of like, I don't know how tall he is, but he looks like he's short for a tight end. Like, he's kind of like a stocky dude. Musgrave kind of, you know, he's like real, looks like he might've been a basketball player. He's like tall, real athletic looking. For fantasy football purposes, I think that Musgrave will definitely be the, better option of the two. But I don't think it's like, you know, like Hayden Hurst, Mark Andrews situation where Mark Andrews was picked after him. I don't think it's a situation like that at all.
Anybody else?
He just went to Green Bay. I just don't think they throw to the tight end. Like, I like Musgrave, but he went to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So, bummer.
We'll see. I mean, coaches aren't idiots. Like, if you have a player at a certain position – sure, the trend might have been not throw the tight end, but if you have a good tight end, maybe you change the game plan a little bit. I'm sure when Travis Kelce is gone from the Chiefs, it won't be like you still have to hyper-target the tight end. You adjust to the personnel. Mm-hmm. So I think it doesn't help that Musgrave and Kraft are both on the same team, but I don't know. Maybe it's a Dobbs-Watson situation. There's something for everyone. Now, Joe Bellner's on the clock at 3:02. This is kind of the territory where we don't really hear much in the space about mock drafting through the third round. So I'm curious to hear what you're thinking here.
Yeah, so the way that this mock draft kind of fell to me, it's a relatively easy pick. He's a little bit older for a rookie, and I didn't really like his tape that much or his college production, but he is a Kansas City Chief, and he will be playing with Patrick Mahomes. So I will take Rashee Rice. You know, it's getting crowded over there with a bunch of receivers that are question marks. You got Kadarius Toney, who's been trending, but can't stay on the field. Sky Moore, MVS is still there. A lot of mouths to feed, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes apparently handpicked this guy like he did with CEH. We saw how good that turned out, unfortunately. But, yeah, this late, we're in the early third round. I'm taking that risk on a guy who – might develop into the wide receiver one for the Chiefs, even though I kind of have my doubts and he's a little bit older.
All right. So Rice goes to Joe Bellner at the 3:02. I swear I would have to confirm, but in my mind, all the Kansas City Chief wide receivers are now going to be the same size.
Pretty much.
Like 6 foot, pushing 200 pounds, shifty guys. Mm-hmm. Sky Moore, maybe probably shorter than that. Rice is like 6 foot. Tony's like 6 foot, I think. That's I'm just picturing them. They're going to be all looking the same.
It's like the Giants a little
bit.
Their
heights and weight. And then you got Justin Watson, who's like 6'4 or something. And, I mean, obviously Kelsey. Yeah. Kelsey's going to look huge.
Always.
Compared to every one of those receivers.
He's the wide receiver one.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. I'm going to look up these heights and weights just to confirmation bias myself. While y'all are talking about your next pick, Ryan, after Rice went, Chase Brown for the Bengals went, Cedric Tillman for the Browns receiver, Darnell Washington went at 305, and then the aforementioned Izzy Abanaconda went at 306. He's the Jets running back. Now Ryan's on the clock. What do you got?
This is where it gets tough. There's actually a few players that I like taking a shot at here. Personally, I'm deciding between Jalen Hyatt, Zach Evans, and Deuce Vaughn and Luke Schoonmaker, even. I like them as well. Schoonmaker, I think, is one of those. It looks like his ADP is rising slowly, but I've got a lot of shares now. And if it was TE Premium, I might go that direction. But since it's not, I think I'm going to actually take a shot here at Zach Evans. And that's mainly just an upside shot. I was with Jalen Hyatt. I just don't necessarily believe in the prospect. So with Zach Evans, not really the offense you would hope that the Rams would have. The last, year didn't look great. Lots of injuries, though. I don't believe in Cam Akers. So I think Zach Evans has a shot to really make an impact, and it could be a value bump. So just shooting for value here.
On Twitter, people either like hated him or loved him all like draft season. It was pretty amazing. There was people that had him like top five, some people that were like, he's outside my top 15. It's just, I've never seen people be so like opposite on the spectrum of the player like him.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the Family Guy mystery box. Like, maybe it's a boat. It's the Roschon Johnson, Zach Evans conundrum. You want to project that they're going to be great because you don't have enough to go off of to prove otherwise. So we'll see. Maybe you get a boat, or maybe you just get an empty box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy was similar to like the Kayshon Booty, but in running back form in this draft class, where he was a number one recruit coming out of high school, went to TCU, ended up getting beated out by Kendre Miller, then went to Ole Miss, and I can't think of Ole Miss's current running back, but he's supposed to be really, really good. Took a lot of the spotlight off of Zach Evans, but then with that said, it seems like the landing spot is pretty good. I do think that he has some juice, and Cam Akers did pretty well down the stretch, but he did have that Achilles injury that we've seen so many running backs have trouble with. And then Zach Evans could catch the ball, and Kyren Williams is a real small guy. So, I think there is a clear pathway for him.
All right, so I took that time to look up some of the Chiefs receivers. And I totally misremembered the size of MVS. Anybody want to guess how tall Marquez Valdes-Scantling is?
I know. He's 6'5".
You know the answer?
I'm pretty sure he's 6'4".
Yeah, I thought he was small. He's tall.
He plays small.
He plays small.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Kadarius Toney, 6'193". Rice, 6'203". Moore, 5'10", 195". Richie James, 5'9", 185". MVS is 6'4". Justin Ross is 6'4". I mean, we haven't seen him on the field. And then if you want to throw in Cornell Powell, he is also 6'204". So Rice and Powell are a pound apart, same height. So hopefully they don't wear similar numbers, because you're going to get them confused. Well, I guess Cornell Powell's probably not making it on the field much.
I've never heard of him.
He for what it's worth. He came out of Clemson, apparently.
Ooh.
He signed a reserve future contract 3 months ago. So, yeah, he's not making the team. Anyway, after Zach Evans, Deuce Vaughn went at 308. Joe Bellner's guy, Schoonmaker.
and Devaney's after we learned tonight. Yeah, I love Shoemaker. I've been coveting the Dallas tight end room after Dalton Schultz left. I have Jake Ferguson. I had Hendershot before. And I just drafted Shoemaker. He's got the draft capital. He's like 6'6", 252, and ran like a 4.61. So I think there's a lot of untapped potential there, and he's super athletic, and he'll get on the field because he's a blocker.
We need a nickname for him, something like Boatman.
I heard Wright called him Shoeman.
Yeah, but I mean, that what does that mean? Shoeman, that doesn't make
sense.
Isn't
that a song, Spoonman?
Oh, okay. I didn't get the reference initially. I'm thinking about because a schooner, like he makes boats, boatmaker. Yeah.
There we go.
We'll workshop that a little bit more. I'm on it 310, and right now it's wide open, but looking at this board, I don't see how I could pass up on the value of Jalin Hyatt right now. Jalin Hyatt went to the New York Giants. They have a plethora of slot receivers, not ideal from that standpoint, but he also might just be better than them at the end of the day. I mean, Sterling Shepard is recovering from yet another major injury. Darius Slayton is what he is, and he's not. He's like the only not slot guy. They signed Jamison Crowder. I mean, what did he do last year? Absolutely nothing. He probably gets cut. I don't know what his contract details are, but I would imagine that it's not guaranteed. Who else am I forgetting here? I mean, Wandale Robinson's coming back from a major knee injury.
You said Isaiah Hodgins?
Isaiah Hodgins, before last year, was a nobody. Paris Campbell signed. I mean, Jeff Smith signed, apparently, but, I mean, that's a camp body. So, Jalin Hyatt might just end up being better than those guys. And if he had better draft capital, I'd be more confident. But he's the best guy on the board, in my opinion, in this rookie draft, and getting him at 310 when he, if he had gone on like day one, if he was a first rounder, obviously he would have been gone in the first round of the rookie draft, maybe at the end of it, before like a guy like A-Chain, before maybe a guy like Mingo. What pick was he at? What pick was Jalin Hyatt at? Third round or fourth?
Third round.
Third.
Okay, so he was a day two pick. He's fast. And I don't really know what else I would need to justify taking him at 310 here.
I agree. I think it was like not the perfect draft capital, obviously. We thought he was going to go a lot sooner. Some people thought like late first round. But in terms of going in the third round, I don't think he could have gone to a better landing spot.
I mean, Cedric Tillman went before Jalin Hyatt in this rookie draft, which I find a bit surprising.
Yeah, I like the talent, but not the landing spot for him as well.
Okay, Joseph Mason is on the board after Eric Gray went at 311 to Team 11.
Yeah, I like the Hyatt pick, Derek. I'm surprised he was there. Here there's kind of like you said, it's kind of wide open. I see there's Kayshawn, I think you say it, Booty, his last name, went to New England. I think I'm going to go with him. He is from LSU. He, what are you laughing at me?
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know how to say his last name. You know,
is it Boutte?
I don't know.
It's Booty with a little more emphasis. Boutte.
Boutte. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to find out. But I think the wide receivers in New England are wide open. So, you know, he had a good, like, I think it was his first year in college. He was really good, and he broke his ankle and never really bounced back. And, you know, maybe just hope that Belichick can, like, whoop him into shape, right? So I'm going to take Kayshawn here.
All righty. And also, if you look on the sleeper rookie mock drafts, it tells you what their overall startup ADP is. And so if you're looking at Booty, his ADP was like two rounds before the next guy who is ranked on ADP, which is Evan Hull. So I think that makes a lot of sense. At 401 went Stetson Bennett, quarterback for the Rams. That's a little bit hot takey. Which brings us to Joe Beldner at the 402.
Yeah, so, nasty land. A little bit of nasty land over here. And you just mentioned who I'm going to pick. I'm going to go with Evan Hull. he's pretty stocky. He's 5'11", 210. What intrigues me about him is he could catch the ball. Really, really good pass catcher at the collegiate level. You know, you have Jonathan Taylor there, but they got rid of Nyheim Hines, who used to thrive in the pass catching role. And I think Evan Hull could step up and be that pass catcher, third down back from pretty much day one. So he'd be my pick here.
All right, let me drop some knowledge on you. Who had more receptions, Evan Hull or Jahmyr Gibbs?
I want to say Gibbs, but I know it's probably Hull.
Probably Hull.
It's Evan Hull. 55 receptions to 44 for Gibbs in the same amount of games played. What about receiving yards?
Hull.
You got it. Evan Hull had 546 receiving yards to 444 for Gibbs. Gibbs did beat him in the touchdown category 3-2. But interestingly enough, as far as like points from receiving, Evan Hull averaged 7.8 half PPR points a game just from his receiving work. So I found that to be interesting. That's compared to 7.0 for Gibbs. So of all the running backs in the draft, Gibbs and Hull were far and away the most effective scoring like fantasy points if you use the same categories in college as you do in the NFL, and that's in half PPR. It's even more if you make it full PPR. So yeah, I think Evan Hull definitely has some potential to be the Nyheim Hines role in the Colts offense. Granted, the Nyheim Hines role was when Frank Reich was the coach, and he is not the coach. So we'll see what Shane Steichen does with that offense. But running backs who can catch passes are rookie quarterback's best friend. After Evan Hull, we had a little bit of a run at tight end and quarterback, believe it or not. Brenton Strange from the Jaguars went. Tucker Kraft, who we already spoke about for the Packers. Dorian Thompson Robinson, the new backup for Deshaun Watson, went at the 405. Jaren Hall for the Minnesota Vikings went at 406. Both of those guys are quarterbacks. Yeah, I think we're not really describing what position these guys play that well, because nobody talks about Jaren Hall in these rookie drafts. But we got Ryan on the clock at the 407. What do you got here?
With these guys, you know, you're just taking a shot. Just go for upside. Go for someone who has a path to opportunity. Most of these guys I barely knew until recently. So the one I'm going to go with is Tank Dell.
No.
So yeah, sorry for this.
This is a mock draft, and I still didn't want you to take him. I was waiting for you to say it.
Yeah, I know he got third round draft capital, smaller guy, but he has a path to targets, and in the fourth round you can't really complain too much about that. So I'm excited to take him.
So Ryan just went with the same strategy that I did, which was to monopolize the players with the first name of Tank. So he took Tank Bigsby at 207, and he just took Tank Dell at 407. And I did a very similar thing, which is I took Tank and Tank also in our true dynasty rookie draft. At 407, you took Tank Dell. Will, I don't even know this player. Will Mallory, tight end for the Colts.
Miami. Went at the 408. Went to Miami. Or he went to the Colts. He went to Miami for college. Sorry. Yeah.
So he just joined a crowded tight end position group there. Mm-hmm. Not sure if I would have spent a rookie pick on Will Mallory personally, nor would I have spent a rookie pick on Clayton Tune at the 409, which brings me to the 410. And because these quarterbacks went, I kind of have the pick of the litter here in terms of late round fourth rounders. And as we've mentioned, these are all dart throws. Don't expect these guys to actually pan out. But in the event that they do pan out, you're getting crazy value for them. I'm tempted to take Michael Wilson here as I stutter that. But I'm going to take Dwayne McBride. He has no passing receiving upside whatsoever. He is the opposite of Evan Hull in that respect, but he does have a ton of rushing production for UAB. He went to the Minnesota backfield. Joe Beldner was really, like, trying to get him in our rookie draft. He was going to trade back into the fourth, but
I slid into everyone's DMs.
Yeah, he was pining after Dwayne McBride very heavily. He tried to trade me Olamide Zaccheaus for him, basically straight up for that pick. I declined and traded that pick away anyway for what's probably going to be like the 401 next year based on who traded it to me. But then I was thinking I was going to be able to get Nacua off of the waivers, and the guy I traded the pick to immediately took him in the 409. So anyway, that little anecdote is over, and we are moving to the 412 because Cameron Latu, tight end for the San Francisco 49ers, went at the 411, and Joe Mason is on the clock.
So before I make my pick, I looked it up. It's Kayshon Boutte. That's Boutte. How it's pronounced.
Sounds classy. So,
now we all know. this pick here, like Ryan said, you just want to shoot for upside this late in the draft. The guy I'm going to take, I was actually considering at the 312 in case he didn't make it back to me, but he did, and that's Sean Tucker, who went as an undrafted free agent to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot of people had Tucker, you know, like higher up there before the NFL draft, and he had some health issues, and he goes to the Tampa Bay, who didn't really add anybody behind blanking on the running back's name, but they're a Tampa Bay running back.
Rashad White.
So I'm, you know, taking Tucker here. Maybe he makes the roster. Maybe he challenges Rashad White for touches. Who knows? So yeah, shooting for upside here with Sean Tucker out of Syracuse.
So he's
one of those
players.
No, my bad. He's just one of those players. I'm sure that you guys have one of those where you kind of remember what you were doing, where you were when you watched them play, like at the collegiate level. I remember I was at a bar like in upstate New York, and there was a ton of Syracuse fans, and he was just going off. He had like 200 rushing yards, like a couple touchdowns. And I was like, oh, this guy's really, really good. So it's been a little bit disappointing to see how his draft stock went down so much. But I do like that landing spot a lot in Tampa Bay. They're a team that I think is going to end up bringing in one of those, like either, you know, they're not going to bring in Leonard Fournette most likely because, you know, he was on the team prior, but they could get like a Zeke or a Kareem Hunt. I could see someone ending up there.
Those guys should just three-way swap. So Kareem goes to the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Zeke goes to the Buccaneers. Fournette goes to the Browns.
It would solve a lot of issues.
Just new, fresh start for all those guys. Now, so sleeper, now that the draft is over, it's telling me to convert the draft into a sleeper league. I'm not going to do that. And so we are also going to rely on some of your collective memories. But now that we've picked 48 guys, was there anyone still on the board there that you still have interest in off the waivers if you got a roster spot?
Who's that wide receiver that got drafted by the Rams? Did he get picked?
Yeah, Puka Nacua.
Yeah, he's still there.
So, yeah, he was not picked in this mock draft. That is definitely one of the guys I would have mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily because he's going to be good, but the opportunity is there because after Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson has done nothing recently. He's the next guy up. Tutu Atwell's done not much. Skoronek is a – I mean, these are just replacement-level players, maybe worse.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can do anything in training camp, he could be the wide receiver 3 in an NFL offense.
I like it.
Anybody else? I have one. Xavier Hutchinson was incredibly productive in college his final year. Let me pull up his stats real quick. He had 107 receptions for 1,171 yards and 6 touchdowns. And that was for Iowa State. So not a huge program, but at least in a decent conference. And so if he can do that in what is that, the Big Ten? Iowa State, is that Big Ten? Midwest guy, help me out.
Honestly, I don't know anymore. They switched all the conference names so much a couple years ago, and I don't know what's what.
They're the Cyclones. That's about all I know about.
Oh, they're
now
in the Big 12 now.
Okay.
That makes no sense.
Well, it was the Big 12, and the Big 10 was like Ohio State, Illinois, all them. But then, like, two of the teams left, and so it got confusing.
they're in the conference with Oklahoma, Kansas State, TCU, Texas. That's good competition. And so this guy put up over 1,000 yards and 100 receptions. So he ended up on – who did he end up on?
Jacksonville?
Yes, I think so. No, Houston. He ended up on Houston, actually. So he went really late. He was the 205th pick, and he went after Nathaniel Dell. But he's a big guy. He's not like these 5'10", 195, 190-pound guys. He's 6'2". And so much like the Rams wide receiver room, the Texans, those spots are up for grabs. Nobody's proven anything. Robert Woods is aging out. Nico Collins has really never proven anything to me, at least. John Mechie has not gotten to play yet because of his injury and then cancer. Noah Brown comes over from the Cowboys. He actually was pretty good when there were some injuries in Dallas, but, I mean, he's already 27, so his future is not in the Houston's plans. And then you got Tank Dell, and you got Xavier Hutchinson. So if you have a roster spot open and he went undrafted in your rookie draft, then he's not a bad pickup. The last guy I'll mention is, I'm kind of screwing myself here because I'm putting waiver claims on these guys in our league, and maybe you're going to compete with me now because I don't really want to spend up for them. Actually, two guys. Charlie Jones has potential to be a slot guy in the next few years for the Bengals. They're probably not going to re-sign Tyler Boyd. He's probably not going to do anything this year, but there's a chance that he has a role maybe next year, or he could become David Bell, which is nothing. Sorry, Joe Mason. Last guy who I actually had to learn about more the last couple days is Elijah Higgins. Does anybody know who that is?
Tight end, Miami.
He is a tight end now. So he was not a tight end in college. He was a wide receiver. However, he's 6'3 and over 225 pounds. And so they said, do you want to switch to tight end? And he said, okay. And he was willing. He's willing to do that. So he is going to transition to tight end. There's not often time when someone transitions successfully to be a tight end from wide receiver. But the depth chart and the opportunity in Miami is trash. Durham Smythe and Tyler Croft and Eric Sauber are the current roster guys. If Elijah Higgins transitions well enough, he could be the starting tight end within the regular season. The biggest question is, can he block?
Good question.
And in Mike McDaniel's offense, you have to block. So that's going to be the biggest test.
Greg Dulcich was a wide receiver up until college. He started playing tight end pretty late.
Yeah, but I'm saying this guy has not played tight end.
Yeah, he's never played tight end. That's a tough one.
Any names for you, Joseph Mason, so I can put some bids on him?
No, but on that note, I don't even think Dalton Kincaid played high school football. I think he, like, started in college.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But what other names to pick up? I think you covered most of them, but you never know. Grab those, you know, backup quarterbacks that teams drafted, right? You never know if one of them's going to take off. Yeah, for, like, Vegas, that's interesting. Oh, no, he's New Orleans, right?
New Orleans.
Aiden O'Connell's the Vegas quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Clayton Tune, but I think he got drafted in our draft, right?
Mock draft, he did. Yeah. He went to Houston. I mean, he went to Houston for college, and he went to Arizona in the draft.
So he could start week one.
Dorian Thompson, whatever, the one that got drafted by the Browns that went to UCLA. He's like a dual threat. So maybe he could be a backup one day.
Well, there you go. That was our 4-round mock draft. Find me one of those somewhere. I mean, I don't listen to enough. Somebody else probably did it, but I don't hear it much in the mainstream. So that was fun to do. Any parting thoughts before we let everyone go? Come on,
don't fall in love with all these seventh round running backs.
No.
Don't give up too much to get them. I know they're the new heat. Like I was trying to trade into the fourth round, like we said, to get Dwayne McBride because I have Alexander Mattison. and I think Dalvin Cook's going to get traded. But at the same time, I wasn't even going to give up a third to get him because the hit rate is just not really it. So it's okay to be excited, but don't give up a ton of capital for him.
McBride still might be behind Chandler in that backfield.
Exactly.
So, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. It is important to know your rules, too, for your league. Because if your roster is, like, 25, rostering guys like Elijah Higgins, they're not realistic. You need, like, a taxi squad, 30-man roster kind of situation. If your dynasty is, like, 25 deep, you're not going to be able to have these guys on your team. It's not going to be worth it. I'm not wrong there, right, Joe Mason, anybody? No, I'm not wrong. They're shaking their heads. That's not going to translate well.
Forgot it's a podcast.
It's just four guys talking football. And with that, we're going to close it out. Had a lot of fun. Tune in next week. We'll be chatting Dynasty Football. This is the Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks again to Ryan for joining. We'll have him again some other time. And you'll hear from us soon.